It's Turley. The date is April 8th, 2003. We're in Lexington, Kentucky. The interviewer is Mike Jones from the Kentucky Historical Society. Ms. Turley, when and where were you born?
I was born in Lexington, Kentucky in 1953 at St. Joseph Hospital.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have four sisters and one brother.
Okay. Did you grow up here in Lexington?
I'm a native of Lexington, Kentucky.
What school did you attend, elementary?
I went to the Constitution Elementary, Dunbar High, and Lexington Junior, and graduated from Henry Clay. And then on from there, I attended the University of Kentucky.
What was your major?
Business.
What was your first exposure to the military? When did you first hear about it?
Well, my first exposure was, I've always been interested in the military, but my first exposure actually to it was when I enrolled as the first African-American female in the University of Kentucky ROTC program. That was my first experience touching base with the military. Then on from there, I was in there a while, but at that time the climate was not really good for African-American, less known being a female in the ROTC program in the UK. So in order to still continue my interest in that, I enrolled in the United States Army Reserve.
While you were still in school?
While I was still in school.
Okay. What was the makeup of the ROTC class? Were there any other?
The makeup of the ROTC class at that time, as I said, I was the first and only African-American female, and along with me it was, if I'm not mistaken, one other African-American male, and that was it.
So you joined the reserves what year? Your sophomore year, freshman year?
I joined the reserves. It was close to my sophomore year.
And what this would have been 19?
It was 1975.
Okay, 75. Now, at this time, were you just doing it to see what it was like? Were you thinking about the military as a career?
Well, at one time while I was in the Army Reserves, I had thought I would want to be a commissioned officer and make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, that got kind of changed around a little bit. So I thought about the Army in that way where I could still be in the Army, experience the Army experience, still be in college, and still stay at home. Because I'm sort of like the family manager with my family.
Okay.
So it was kind of letting me do that and still continue doing what I was going to do.
Okay.
So I joined the Army Reserves. I went to basic training in Fort McCullen, Alabama.
What was that like? Was it what you expected?
Well, I tell you what, it was a wonderful experience. By being in the ROTC, that kind of gave me a little edge on everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I only had to attend basic for 14 days. This was like an accelerated program because I was already considered skilled. When you were already had a certain amount of education or skill, then you could bypass some of the training, because in the long run that would save the military and have to train you.
Right.
So they let you go in with rank. So basically I went as an E2, and after basic I was automatically an E3, where I didn't have to start with the very beginning and worked up.
What does E3 mean?
E3 is a corporal.
Okay.
Right. So I went from private to a corporal.
Okay.
Right.
What do you remember about those few days?
Well, the 14 days in basic training was really experienced, but like I said, I had a little leeway on it by being an ROTC cadet, kind of what to expect. When I first got there, and I guess they kind of looked me over and saw what little experience I had, so I was made the platoon leader, which that was an honor to be the platoon leader over the whole platoon of that whole basic training, that particular group of ladies. And that was really an experience, because I had never really experienced being basically like, I guess you would say, like a platoon leader over that many people, especially females.
Okay.
So it was a good experience. I did everything. We did everything in the 14 days that anybody would do in the 6 weeks. We experienced everything from being in the field, from firing our weapons. It was basically boot camp, but it was a compressed boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
I made a lot of friends. pretty much, I would say everything overall was exciting. Nothing really was, like I said before, being appointed the platoon leader was about the most outgoing experience I experienced.
Okay.
But I enjoyed all of it. Like I said, it was basic boot camp. We experienced everything from the field to the marching to weapons firing to survival skills. We did everything in 14 days. The first one doing 6 weeks.
I kept you pretty busy.
Oh, we were up, I guess, around 4:30 in the morning. And by me being the platoon leader, I had to make sure everyone was up.
Mm-hmm.
I had several squad leaders to help me.
Okay.
But it was my overall responsibility to take care of the whole platoon. So I had to really be on my P's and Q's and make sure that everybody was up, ready, and in formation. And we started, I said, like at 4:30, we were eating at 5. And the day ended at about 6.
Okay. So when you finished basic, did you come back to UK to ROTC?
No. When I came back from basic training, I didn't come back to the ROTC program.
Okay.
It was just not a good environment at that time. So I stayed at UK and I still continued my Army Reserves training.
Okay. Now, where did you go from there? Once you did you finish school and then what happened?
Well, I stayed in the reserves 16 years. I got married and got married and got a little overweight, so I didn't want to get put out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, I got in the inactive reserves for a while, but then I received two honorable discharges. I had already did two obligations, so I mean I fulfilled my dream of being in the military. I got to experience every single thing aspect of the military, and one really experience that I got to experience was when we went to summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the reserves, you would go every year, a lot of times to a different location.
Okay.
But most of the time, we would go to Fort Campbell. When I got into the military police unit, we would do a lot at Fort Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, I was a truck driver. I was in the motor pool.
Okay.
And we would go different. We would go to Ohio, Arkansas. We went to several different places. But during that two-week period, one of the most beautiful experiences of my life I'll never forget was I got to ride the, I cannot remember the name of the plane, but it was a refueler. It's the Army, I forgot the numbers, but it's the refueler plane that refuels all the jets.
Was it those KC something?
I'm not sure. It might be a KC-130. Sounds familiar.
Something like that.
Right, but anyway. Okay. We flew from Columbus, Ohio, Rickenbacker Air Force Base, all the way to Iowa. And during that route, we refueled, I don't know how many jets. And the experience I experienced was I got to actually lay down beside the guy who operates the boomer. And he lays on his stomach in the back of the plane, and he guides this basket. And these jets is so beautiful how they just come down.
Uh-huh.
And then they talk and they communicate with each other, and it's a basket where they've got
the nose goes in that basket. Okay.
And that's how they fly along in the air. It's a beautiful thing you want to see. They fly along in the air while they're gassing the planes. And then one would fly up, another one would come down.
Okay.
So I always wondered how they got fuel during wartime
without coming down.
So that was a beautiful experience to actually get to lay beside the boomer and in the observation bay and get to lay on our stomach also.
Right,
watch
there.
Him guide that thing in to refuel those planes. It was something. And you could actually see the pilot in the other plane.
That, I mean, he was that close?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And they would miss the basket, and then they would talk again, and then they would connect, and then the gas would run out. It was beautiful. So that was probably one of my most beautiful experiences in the military besides basic training.
Okay. You said you were you trained as an MP later on?
Right.
What were some of the things you had to do as an MP?
With military police, we had to, that was like going into a different MOS in the military. The jobs are called MOS.
Mm-hmm.
My first one was clerical. That's how I got to go in under that expedited basic training program.
Mm-hmm.
Then I switched to the motor pool with the general supply unit. I was a Jeep driver. Then I was a deuce and a half driver. I had my own big deuce and a half truck. And I drove that for a while and drove on convoys and pulled big trailers and everything. That was experience. Then after that, I got kind of bored with that. I wanted to do something more exciting. So I went into the military police branch, which was basically, we had to retrain all over for that. Mm-hmm. Not basic training, but just, you know,
special
training,
okay.
Which entitled shooting your 45 weapon, because as a soldier, we mostly shoot M16s. So you have to be qualified in that, along with your military police weapon, which was a 45. So we had to qualify with the 45. I was a 95 Charlie, and that was military police corrections. I was a correctional. And my job, I was a senior correctional supervisor.
Okay.
And so what we would do at camp, we would go in and take over and run a stockade. Basically, what we would do during our two-week training, we would relieve the regular Army personnel,
mm-hmm.
and we would go in and run the whole stockade. There would be a few people there to help us, but we would take over and run the stockade, which that entailed taking care of the military prisoners.
Okay.
And we had to learn how to do the reports, custody and control, transporting to Leavenworth or wherever, different, just basically the whole correction aspect of handling military prisoners.
So did you spend most of your time, 16 years, as an MP?
Most of my time was spent as a...
Truck?
No, I would say probably half and half.
Okay.
I'd say more than likely it was half, maybe more so as a military police. I would say the majority of military police. 3/4 military police and the other part as a motor food truck driver.
So you were in from 1975 basically until...
Almost 1991.
Okay.
Right.
Looking back just kind of at the whole time period as a African-American woman, how did you think the military treated you? Did you feel equal?
Well, as I said earlier, in the Army ROTC program, which dealt with the military, mm-hmm. I did not feel equal there. It was a very uncomfortable situation to be an mm-hmm. African-American female in the ROTC program.
Mm-hmm.
So in the reserves, it wasn't really that bad, but I experienced several experiences of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Discrimination, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Because you were a female, and I guess black too, sexual overtones
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that were, you know, expected for you to go along with them in order to get rank, which, you know, I never did that, but it was put in front of me.
It was out there. Mm-hmm.
It was out there. Mm-hmm. And really what happened that was really a bad situation, which the department commander ended up coming down and talking to me. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get promoted. Well, I knew why I couldn't get promoted, because I wouldn't do these sexual favors with this person in charge of the motor pool, and
mm-hmm.
that was just not the norm for me. I mean, you know, because I'm a black female, I'm sorry, but I experienced that. It was really bad, and I was a top soldier in basic training. I received the award for being the most outstanding soldier in basic training. I mean, I was a good soldier, so why couldn't I get promoted? So I had one of the other officers look into it for me, and we filed a complaint, and they came down and saw that I had a legitimate complaint,
mm-hmm.
that it was sexual harassment.
Okay.
So that's how I got into the military police unit. They transferred me and gave me my rank, and I was put in the military police unit.
Okay. Okay.
So overall, I was experiencing different type of biases, sexual discrimination, or whatever, or racial discrimination. I did experience some of that, but I overcame it.
What was your rank when you when you got out of the military?
I was a sergeant.
Okay. Did you make any lifelong friends in the military? Anybody you still keep in touch with today, or anybody you remember in particular from somewhere, anything like that?
A lot of the people that went to basic training were from different states. One particular female, we went on the Buddy Buddy program,
mm-hmm.
and we actually flew there together, did basic training together. And I stayed in contact with her for a while. But now, once, when I came back to the reserves, all the guys that I served in the reserves with, I pretty much still stay in contact with them.
Okay.
And it's been years, and I still talk to them. We still see each other.
Cool. Do you see the military as a good place for African Americans, men and women?
At this time, I think so, and I think you have to be, I would say, a pretty strong person as an African American in the military, because regardless how things have changed, and I think you still get tried in there pretty much too. But I think if you're strong, you got your head on straight, and you're aware of your rights and not fall prey to that, you'll make it.
Okay. I look at the war coverage going on right now, and I see a lot of black faces. And I've looked at statistics, and it said, like, during the first Desert Storm, 1990, almost 30% of the military was African American in Iraq or Kuwait. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there are such a large presence of African Americans in the military today?
Well, I think too, back years ago, we weren't allowed pretty much to serve the way we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, with the African Americans going in and having that choice, I think more of them are choosing to go in and serve. I don't think it's you've been placed in a position or a job where it's more hazardous. Because when you go into the military, you have the option of picking your MOS.
Right.
If you want to be infantry, if you want to be in the medical unit, if you want to be wherever, you have that option. So I think with the figures falling like they're falling, I don't think it's got anything to do with being forced in those particular positions. I just think that's just how it happens.
Okay.
I've got a brother-in-law that's in infantry, and that's what he chose.
Okay.
Is infantry.
Okay.
Right. I've got a sister that's in, which she's clerical, where she used to be in petroleum refueling planes. So you have that choice.
Okay. Any other comments you'd like to make? Or?
Well, it's really funny. My whole family pretty much is military. All my uncles, everyone. Well, the new generation of my family, all the girls got to go in, but none of the males because they had football injuries. My brother, I really have two brothers because my father's been married a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So all the females basically served. Cousins, sisters. But the guys couldn't go in because of football injuries. So I kind of come from a military background, and I think that any young man or woman, whether African American, whatever the ethnic, whatever it is, a race, should experience the military. I think it's a wonderful place for anyone, a young person, to go. My daughter, she went. She was in the reserves. Yeah. And my best friend, her son, went in. And I'm constantly recruiting, still recruiting. I was on recruiting duty also. That was some of my active duty experiences. I got to experience not
mm-hmm.
only in the reserves, but they put me on active duty as a recruiter. And I'm still unofficially recruiting because it's a good experience that you'll never regret long as you live, is to join the military. Even if it's just for 2 years or 3 years. But I think every young man and woman on this earth needs to experience the military.
Okay. Well, Ms. Turley, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I look forward to getting you in the exhibit.
Okay.
And,
well, thank you.
This concludes our interview.
Well, thank you.